lifelong friends have made their way this week to Washington for the inauguration of Donald Trump. They're part of a busload of supporters from Tennessee planning to watch as Trump is sworn in as the nation's 45th president. They talked to WPLN's Chaz Sisk from the road.
The sunrise over Virginia's Blue Ridge Mountains was a marvel. Gold, cotton candy pink, deep purple. Windy Bowles awoke just in time to catch it. The postal inspector from Knoxville hopes the country will have the same experience on Inauguration Day.
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be a new day for our country. I expect to see some changes for the good.
An improved economy, for one, and the end of what she sees as corrupt favor trading.
You know, when you're in Washington and good old boy system or, you know, favors, return favors, and, you know, Trump's starting out fresh. He doesn't owe anybody, and pretty much he says, sometimes to a fault, what's on his mind.
Bowles' biggest concern about Trump, that he won't be able to deliver on everything he's promised. A little later, Bowles discusses Trump's candor with her companion. She and Gina Scalf have been friends since childhood, and they frequently go on trips together.
I think sometimes he says things, and I just think, oh my, I wouldn't have said that. But that's the thing I do love about him is... He doesn't really, he just speaks, in his mind, he is speaking how he feels and the truth.
Scalf blames the media to a large degree for negative views of Trump. She says news organizations often take Trump's remarks out of context because they want to drum up division. But Scalf is also a teacher, fifth grade at a Christian school in Knoxville. Her students repeat what they hear at home and in the media. She tries to impress on them that speaking your mind is important, but so is avoiding unnecessary offense.
And that's hard. That's hard. Sometimes we just have to, think before we speak. And sometimes I think, and I've said too, maybe he'll put people around him and surround him that will help him to maybe use better choice words.
One big question about Trump's administration is how much the brash, unconventional president changes Washington and how much it reins him in. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Chaz Sisk.
Some gun rights advocates have pressed in recent years to eliminate Tennessee's handgun carry permit requirement. They say Second Amendment rights shouldn't be restricted by the government. Only one of the seven major candidates for governor agrees, but for many of the rest, the issue is complicated. As part of our series of questions for the people who hope to be Tennessee's next governor, WPLN's Chaz Sisk asked whether handgun owners should be required to have permits to carry.
As a state lawmaker, Republican Mae Beavers frequently proposed legislation to do away with handgun carry permits. And as a candidate for governor, her position is unchanged. She believes there are already enough strings attached to gun purchases, so the permit process is pointless.
Remember that I'm talking about when you legally own a gun, not if you stole it, but if you legally own a gun, you've gone through the background checks, you know, they found out you're not a criminal, so why shouldn't you be able to?
That's not a position any of the other major candidates for governor share. The rest believe there's a public safety value to having a permit system. House Speaker Beth Harwell says it even has some benefits. Because gun owners in Tennessee have to be permitted to carry, they can legally take their weapons into most other states, including all eight that border Tennessee.
It certainly is, I think, good for gun carrying permit holders to be able to have a reciprocal agreement with states around us, which they would lose if we went to a constitutional carry.
But Harwell says there's a limit to her support for handgun permits. If elected governor, she says she would not block lawmakers if they decided to do away with them. And she's not the only candidate who says that. Congressman Diane Black does as well. Then there are the two other Republicans, businessmen Randy Boyd and Bill Lee. Both would keep handgun permits, but they'd make them cheaper and easier to get. Boyd received his carry permit just this year. He describes the experience as burdensome.
It took me 8 hours and cost $85. I personally think it could have been free and done in an hour.
The strongest support for the current permit system comes from the Democrats. Both former Nashville Mayor Carl Dean and House Minority Leader Craig Fitzhugh say unequivocally that they see no need for a change. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Chaz Sisk.
We should note that we asked the candidates this question before the recent shootings in Antioch and Las Vegas. So far this fall, we've also talked to them about medical marijuana and in-state tuition for undocumented immigrants. You can see their answers to those questions and suggest questions of your own by visiting WPLN.org. Just search Tennessee's Next Governor.
There's no question the country's political gaps are widening. Increasingly, Americans socialize with, worship alongside, and even date only people who share their ideology. Figuring out how to talk across this divide is hard, but there's one group of professionals that has a long history helping people find common ground: marriage and family therapists. WPLN's Chaz Sisk reports on how one organization is applying their techniques to politics.
In the rough-hewn parlor of a creaky 19th century farmhouse in Brentwood, 13 people are sitting in a pair of concentric circles.
You don't look at them, talk to them, we'll just talk among ourselves.
Six reds, or conservatives, are in the middle. Around them, seven blues, or liberals, sit on the outside.
That those of you who are in the blue group, your job is to listen and learn something here.
Bill Doherty, a Minnesota-based marriage and family therapist, leads this exercise. He challenges the red group to name some of the things about their fellow conservatives that bother them.
Okay, I'll throw out a name then, Trump.
The
populist side doesn't necessarily equate to conservatism.
Well, it doesn't.
Over the next 10 minutes, they list the various factions within the conservative movement that bug them. Anti-government radicals, people who are religiously intolerant, and media that seems slavish to the president.
That Trump can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
That because Trump is doing it, it's therefore right.
It's like watching a reality show.
The left-leaning blues in the outer ring silently take notes. This exercise is called a fishbowl. It's been used in group therapy sessions for decades. Outside the room, Doherty explains the idea.
And so what happens is people in the middle forget about the other group. They're just talking to each other. And so it's a chance to kind of eavesdrop on a group you'd never have a chance to do before. And then you get some things out of that you can't get any other way.
The fishbowl is one part of a day-long workshop. Participants also discuss stereotypes, both of themselves and of the other side, and they engage in question and answer sessions. All of these exercises are drawn from Doherty's experience as a counselor. They're meant to heal divisions within a family or other social group. This workshop applies them to the political divide.
These are not mostly purples. These are red and blues. But they are willing to listen. And what I believe is that a lot of Americans are willing to listen.
Doherty has been running these workshops since late last year, just a few weeks after the election. The program is called Better Angels, a reference to the voice of conscience that Abe Lincoln appealed to during his first inaugural address, back during another time when Americans were deeply divided. Better Angels hopes to bridge this era's political chasm. David Blankenhorn is the organization's president and founder.
Just about every issue you can think of, not just a few, but nearly every issue, it's just gridlocked, you know. We don't even agree on our ability to talk to each other anymore.
Better Angels holds itself out as a political movement in the making. It's held 40 workshops so far across the Midwest, Northeast, and the South, and it draws inspiration from the Farmers Alliance, which began at the grassroots in the 1800s and eventually became a third party. The alliance faded away, but only after shaking up the political landscape. Similarly, Better Angels wants to change the way politics is conducted today.
We'd ultimately like to bring together the political leaders and everybody else, but beginning at the level of just citizen to citizen, can we talk to one another? Can we at least recognize the goodwill of the other side?
But organizers admit one of the biggest challenges they face is selection bias. Participants have to want to hear the other side and have the means to spend a day getting it. This group, meeting in Brentwood, is overwhelmingly white, Judeo-Christian, and middle class. They find broad agreement on issues like welfare fraud and support for immigration. Even one of the participants, Beth Mallow, wonders whether she's truly hearing the other side. She describes herself as a moderate, fiscally conservative Democrat.
So when you were imagining the other side, the person you wanted to meet, what was the 180?
For me, it was really understanding somebody who, let's say, voted for Donald Trump. And what it was that motivated him. Was it wanting change?
But no ardent Trump supporters showed up for this particular workshop. Several from the conservative group confessed they didn't even vote for him. Those that did generally aren't happy with his performance. Still, Mallow says the conversation has widened her understanding of what people mean when they call themselves conservatives.
One thing we don't want to do is consider ourselves to be unidimensional. People are multidimensional. People have many different sides.
Another person who's on hand is Greg Smith. He's driven all the way from southwestern Ohio to sit in as an observer. Back in the spring, Smith took part in one of the first Red-Blue workshops.
I was what one might consider a real hardcore conservative and just kind of unmovable.
But through that seminar, Smith also met a Muslim man who also lives in southwestern Ohio. Smith says they've become friends, meeting for lunch and even going to a service at his Pentecostal church. Soon, they plan to visit a mosque.
It's been an eye-opener. I've actually changed my viewpoint of some people, even President Obama. I've changed the way I've looked at some things.
Smith is now training to become a Better Angels moderator, and he hopes to lead these conversations in his community. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Chaz Sisk.